I'd like to introduce Roz, and she will be speaking as our Al-Anon speaker.
Let me start a timer for you.
Hi.
And I'll start a timer too, Roz, just FYI. Okay.
Thank you. I have my water.
Oh, she needs her water.
Yeah.
Is it wine?
Water. Hi, my name's Roz, and thank you, Kim and Marilyn, for inviting us to do this. My sponsor, who also is in the meeting tonight, who I will not identify, told me that sharing a service and you never say no to service. So we said yes. We didn't know what we were saying yes to. And who knew what our lives were going to be when we said yes. But I feel privileged to be in these rooms and in this fellowship. And let's just say I was not looking forward to this. I felt anxious and like it was something I had to get through. And I don't know what it was. I was on the phone with someone recently and I said, what if I looked at it differently? Because that's what Al-Anon has taught me to do. What if I look at this with gratitude and excitement and something to look forward to? And it changed. I had this aha moment. So I am a very grateful member of Al-Anon here tonight. I'll give you a little bit about me. I have a sponsor. I'm in my 32nd year, which does not mean anything. I think it was Tom W. said, each year you're in Al-Anon, you get 1 second of pause. And so I have maybe, if I'm lucky, 15 seconds of pause. I can be a newcomer like that. I was a newcomer this evening and I had an emotional slip and I made my amends. I don't know if my amends is going to be accepted, but I can own what I do. I don't like to dwell on what it was like. I like staying in recovery. And if anything, Kim asked me what kind of topic or anything I wanted to talk to tonight, I thought sponsorship, because I did this program without a sponsor for about a year and a half, and I can tell you it didn't work. And I don't remember the first time I got a sponsee, but I will tell you that it took my recovery to another level. I never write out a speech. I never even write down little notes, but I'm older now and I can drift. So you see me looking down. It's just to have me, I have like little words that will keep me on track. And I have to say, just looking around at everybody's face, I feel like I'm home. The disease of alcoholism is isolation. And I lost my family, my friends. They were so tired of hearing me complain and do nothing. So who I was and how I got set up to be in a alcoholic marriage. I did not come from an alcoholic family. There was an aunt by marriage that people talked about, but drinking just wasn't part of my life. That didn't mean my life was perfect. My father was a rager. He loved me. He loved my brother. He loved my mother. He was broken in a way that people get when they're prisoners of war. And he was a survivor of the Holocaust. And he had his own demons. And he acted out. And he did the best he could. And later in his life, after my mom passed away, I was his, I almost said sole caretaker, but my husband, my daughters, because all my family is back east besides that. We stepped in and we, you know, I was working full time. I had two teenagers and I had an alcoholic husband. So my life was crazy. But the last year of his life, I got the father that I always wanted. The raging went away. And I got to not be the caretaker anymore due to great social services in San Francisco. He was able to find someplace that took care of him in his last years and allowed me to not be a caretaker, but to be a daughter. And that was a gift. I've forgiven him. I do not feel less than because, you know, I would see the TV shows and, you know, all the things that you hear about happy families. And that wasn't mine. I never knew when he was going to erupt and cause a scene. And unfortunately, when you live in a house with ragers, sometimes the children take that on. I had a brother that physically beat me. And it's so funny. I have a good relationship with him now. And I was on a Zoom call with him. And he doesn't remember it. And I said, no, you punched me. And he goes, no, I didn't. And I go, no, you punched me. I forgive him. I love him. I'm in contact with him and his family. Resentments can cause more harm. Holding secrets inside can cause more harm. So you take this person who feels less than. Again, when I say I forgive, this is before Al-Anon. And then you put yourself in to a marriage. I was 18 years old when I got married. I grew up in my marriage. I was ripe for living in an alcoholic home. I love alcoholics. I can go into a party and I will beeline right for the alcoholic. When my husband went into recovery, oh my God, did I love the fellowship of AA. It was like a dream come true. These fun, wonderful people and the parties. And, you know, we went from a life of almost nothing. Like, I think we spent Thanksgiving with my husband's dealer one year. I mean, it was pretty sad. my sister-in-law was getting married, and one sister-in-law said, the other sister-in-law said, if Max comes, I won't show up and I'm bringing your mother. So we were disinvited to that. Our life got smaller and smaller. So that was then. I go to a group family event with my husband's counselor when we're in, he's first in recovery. And he didn't know what to do with me. I really think the guy was not that great. But he just said, go to Al-Anon. So I listened. So I go to my first meeting. It's at the dry dock. I'm sure it's still there. It was a house of recovery, meetings of all kinds. It's three people, two newcomers, and someone who doesn't have a lot of knowledge, but the three of us go in the room together, and I become instant speaker. But I'm told I can't talk about my alcoholic, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'll say that I left that meeting and I went home and I'm going, that wasn't really helpful. And I get home and my qualifier goes, did you talk about me? And I go, no, they wouldn't let me. And his response was, well, you're not going back then, because it's all about the alcoholic. I had become invisible. I had lost myself. I'd lost myself all years before. I wasn't healthy when I went into the marriage, and then I got smaller and smaller. Okay, so I tickle with Al-Anon. I found some really good meetings. I got there late. I left early. Really didn't connect at all. I'm in it maybe a year and a half, and we were going to a meeting on Union Street. And there was AA downstairs and Al-Anon upstairs. Not a really good situation when you think of it. I had a sponsee once who had such bad PTSD from the alcoholic in her life that if alcoholics were hanging around outside a door, she couldn't walk through the door. So, you know, when you think of it, it was a little hard, but you know, the Al-Anons were down, were upstairs in a tiny room, and the AAs were downstairs. Now, I love alcoholics. I love the fellowship of AA. I was right there. I love the laughter. I love the stories. If you haven't been to an AA meeting, and you can be around an alcoholic, because not everybody can at the very beginning or even later on, I highly, I will not recommend. For me, listening to the stories gave me hope. So one of our friends said, you know, there's an Al-Anon meeting upstairs, because I was walking right in the door to go to AA. And I went, yeah, okay, I'll go upstairs. And I did. You could still hear the laughter downstairs, but I went upstairs. And that's where I met my sponsor. And that's where I got my first service commitment. And along the way, I hit another bottom. A child of mine who has never qualified as anything other than an eating disorder, had her bottom and disappeared while she was away at college. And that bottom almost killed me. I had a third step awakening. I was home alone and I dropped on my knees because I didn't know what to do. And I said, God, please help me. And I felt like my mother had just put her arms around me and held me. And I felt comfort. And it was my spiritual awakening, which helped me renew my efforts in Al-Anon. I got a sponsor. It's funny, I'd go early or late, leave early. I wouldn't talk to people. I finally stayed late. I wanted to talk to this woman to ask her to be my sponsor, just as someone else cuts in front of me and does the same thing. And I'm so like, oh, she can't have two, that I just walk away. I think it was months later, I finally asked her. And I began my step work. And that's why I think a sponsor has been so important to me. We did the steps in order. I had total faith in her. I would meet in her garden. Beautiful. The amount of time she gave me and the love she showed me and the compassion that she showed me. And she was a good sponsor. She called me out. Why isn't your name on this list? Go home and make another list. I've never seen a list without your mother, you know, without a mother or parent on it. You go home. You do that again. I put people on lists that I would make amends to, and my higher power put them in front of me. So they became the first one that I made my amends to, instead of from the list of, oh no, to like, oh yes. I worked the traditions. And I've worked the concepts. And I know I work the concepts with a group of people in service above meeting service, area and district, and worldwide service. And I'll tell you, people go, oh no, concepts, they don't really do anything for you. It's more for service or at meeting level, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't know it by heart, but the 12th concept, which talks about double-headed management, was spot on for my marriage. There's no way you can have two people paying bills and two people shopping and two people, you know, we had to delegate. And to this day, delegation of duties in my marriage helps. So let me just go back to my daughter and her journey. So the Fellowship of AA and the Fellowship of Al-Anon carried me through. There's a friend of mine who was in AA who said to me, what is the worst thing that could happen? And we were out hiking in a hiking group. And I looked at her and I said, because my daughter was always cold. And I said that she dies alone and cold. And I just broke down and started crying. Once you say it, you let it go. It was found eventually. and her car was found in Utah. And someone went with my husband to pick up the car while I then flew to Florida, where she landed, and brought her home. One thing about our programs, you know, you think, oh, once your alcoholic stops drinking, or that life is going to be great. It's the beginning of greatness, but it's not the, I think of it this way. The first year of sobriety, living in sobriety with my qualifier was hell, because he was feeling for the first time everything that got stuffed. And now it was coming up. So Al-Anon took my hands and let me go through it. When I was looking for a sponsor, I thought, well, I want to get a sponsor who I want to hold my marriage together. I'm having horrible problems with my teenagers. I want someone who has kids because they'll help me with the kids. This is what I thought I wanted. Instead, at the time, I got a sponsor who was not married and never had kids. Because what I needed in Al-Anon was not to fix my kids and not to fix my husband, but to fix me. I was the one. I deserved someone for me. When I became well, when I became whole, when I found myself again through the steps, I was then able to work on the other things. It's been my experience that you can't do the steps by yourself. It's been my experience you can't sponsor yourself. So, I'm so grateful I found the sponsor that I did. I just had a wonderful chat with her this week. And it's like a sister almost, someone who knows me, who has the honor of my secrets. And I have the honor of hers. It's a beautiful relationship. I finally realized that for me to find how wonderful the fellowship of Al-Anon was and not keep on squeezing into AA meetings was being part of it. So I didn't do it perfectly. I became I chaired meetings, I secretaried. I don't think I ever did treasurer, which is funny because I'm good with numbers, but it just, I didn't like having the thought of the responsibility of someone else's money. It was amazing what happened. I wound up in a woman's study group that expanded. We did all sorts of books. Again, it helped my recovery. And then the beauty of a sponsee, you know, the relationship is just someone with a flashlight, just someone shining the path who has worked the steps and will take you down that road. And I have some sponsees that I've not done the steps with. I have some that I have. My sponsor had me do Path to Recovery. And that's how I started with my sponsees. I literally had a sponsee that I was thinking almost of asking her to be my sponsor when she asked me to sponsor her. What a relationship that was. I love her so dearly. The fellowship has carried me through when I couldn't carry myself. I think it was 2009, Max and I were asked to speak at a meeting. And I had become ill with an autoimmune disease. And it was a 6-month journey to be diagnosed and then horrible medicines to get me well. And I was at a spiritual bottom. No amount of gratitude could get me out of it. You know, people can say, I'll do a gratitude list, you know, go A through Z, do whatever you think, you know, take a walk in nature, because recovery gave me nature. I was able to find such recovery and such spirituality in nature. So my girlfriends took me out to dinner before this meeting. Not this meeting. The meeting that I was going to in 2009. And they're worried about me. They're real worried about me. They're saying, Roz, you need help. And I'm going, no, I'm fine. And they gave me a name of a psychiatrist that they thought was fabulous because he was, at the time, he was running a 12-step alcohol recovery program and also had a private practice. So he was centered in 12-step work. I said, no, I'm fine. And finally they said, never again. We're never bringing this up. I went, good. And we went to the meeting and I did my share. And when I left the podium and everybody was clapping, I realized that I had lied through the whole share. I told a story. I told my story. What I didn't say was that I was in a new bottom. And so that I omitted, I lied by omission, and I've made amends for that. And I didn't tell them, but that was Saturday night. On Monday, I made the phone call. In our program, it says that we can get outside help if you need it. And again, no amount of gratitude, no amount of recovery, no amount of Al-Anon would have gotten me to the place I was brought to by seeing a psychiatrist. I found the rest of me. I found the little girl who was abused when she was little, and I got to hug her, and I got to make amends. And the insight that I got, the amount of personal recovery brought me to another level in Al-Anon. I think this year, I retired in July 28th, 2019, and one of my goals was to get back to actually going to a home group and trying to I get to meetings, but not to the amount that I really wanted to, and not that I needed my recovery needed, that I needed. So when people would say to me, you know, at work, what are you going to do when you retire? And I'm going, I'm going to go to meetings. I didn't say that, but that was one of my goals. And I did. I want to backtrack one second because I want to talk about service. I was a co-chair of Al-Anon in a convention in San Francisco that had Al-Anon participation. It was the hardest service I've ever done. I worked for a year. I had a service sponsor. I had committees. It was so hard. The day of the convention came and it was going okay. And I don't know how I'm notified, but someone called central office. And she lived in Marin. And she was desperate. Just desperate. And they gave her the convention to come to. And maybe I was at the Al-Anon booth. I don't know. I don't remember. But she showed up. All the work, everything we did was for that one person. Till the day she died, she was a member of Al-Anon. She found in that meeting enough for her to come back. So when I talk about service, you never know who you're going to touch. You know, I don't know anybody else or any other stories that I can remember of what we did in that year. But that's what that service was. That was the end all to an amazing year of growth. That one person heard what she needed to hear to start her road for recovery. So you never know. You just never know who you're going to touch or how it's going to work. You just be a shining example of recovery. So I no longer have therapy. I feel like that part of me is healed. I will never say that about Al-Anon. I will never graduate from Al-Anon. There is no end date for me in Al-Anon. The people that I see here, you know me. I wouldn't want to be apart from you. This past year, or 9 months, I've learned a lot about myself and my recovery. I'm happier than I've been in a long time. Still have bad days, but I've learned to own. You know, when all those years ago, when I was told to go to an Al-Anon meeting, why me? I'm not sick. It's him. Why do I have to do this? I was sick. And I still am. You know, tonight I had to make an amends. We have emotional slips. You can't count it like a drunk if they drink, but I have emotional slips. And I learned that I am not perfect. I may be quiet. I might not curse. But I get my jabs in. And I learned, I think it because, you know, good comes from bad. I hate that. Hate it, but it's true, you know, being isolated and in a relationship. I got to own some things and made some amends for things that I've done and that I do. I've gotten forgiveness. That's been a big one with my brother and myself. He did the best he could with what he had. And today he's a different person, and I'm a different person. And we've got a great relationship. My daughters are amazing people. I could not be prouder. One is a teacher and one is a therapist. They help. The therapist works in a live-in house for teenage girls and does the family therapist job there. Finished up her PhD in her education and is 6 months into her dissertation. As she calls it, the clock is ticking. I have three amazing grandchildren that I love. I learned to keep out of it. I learned to shut my mouth. I learn to praise that it's okay. I've learned to love fully, to love myself, to accept myself. I feel as if, today when I get calls from my sponsees, it's such joy and such recovery. I get to share the message. And what I find is with a sponsor-sponsee relationship, there's no teacher-student. We swap places constantly. You know, when a sponsee calls and is talking about their child or whatever is going on in their lives, there's no coincidence. I once had three sponsees call at the same day about the same thing. Call my sponsor up and she goes, I go, what is going on? And she goes, don't you don't see this? And she told me exactly the reason it was affecting me. What a gift. What a gift Al-Anon has been. I had a very hard time when I moved from San Francisco, where I started my recovery, to 20 years ago, coming to Walnut Creek. For the first year, I was running back to San Francisco. That's where my sponsor was and that group of women that I met. And I didn't want to leave it. And then I realized what was going on is my husband had just made his home and he had all these friends and I'm running to San Francisco. And I just went, okay, am I living in San Francisco or am I going to live in Walnut Creek? And little by little, I started going to meetings and telling my story and listening and finding a home group and showing up. Zoom has been interesting. I have to say, I found other meetings that I love. I don't know what it's going to be like when we go back to meetings in person, but I'm looking forward to that day. I'm really glad that I'm going to be sitting in my living room tonight in my comfy clothes and slippers on. And, you know, that's one of the things I told myself I'm grateful for. It's like, oh, you should dress up and go, no, this is me. The me that's in the comfy clothes. And yes, I can hear my sponsors saying, well, you know, you should, you know, suit up, dress up, show up. But in my heart, I'm wearing an evening dress, not my sweats. So I think I feel like I've told my story. For people who don't know me, you know me now. For people who know me, you might know me a little bit better. So grateful for the people I've come to know and love in this program. And the people that have taught me that, I guess from the traditions, that you can disagree, but still walk away friends, that you can have different backgrounds, different, just be different, but be the same. And I think, you know, when I first started in Al-Anon, I don't know how it happened, but it was like, I went, I want this to be the same way for the next generation, the next newcomer, the next person that comes in, to find it how I found it, to keep it Al-Anon, to keep it simple. The slogans are literature. And just participate. Participation is the key to harmony, and it really is true. Show up a little bit early, stay a little bit late. There's someone hurting next to you. And if you're welcoming, they'll feel it. I feel stronger and better for knowing all of you. And I just want to thank you for the honor of being here tonight, sharing my story, being there for me when I couldn't carry myself along. And that's to you, Fran. When my daughter was, one of my daughters was going through a hard time, she picked me up, she fed me. That's what you do. You do the next best thing. I love you all, and thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you so much to both Roz and Max for stepping up and doing service and telling their truth at the speaker meeting. And just a reminder that